Rideshell. Welcome to the Scott Horton Show. I'm the director of the Libertarian Institute, editorial director of antiwar.com, author of the book Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, and the brand new Enough Already, Time to End the War on Terrorism. And I've recorded more than 5,500 interviews since 2003, almost all on foreign policy, and all available for you at scotthorton.org. You can sign up for the podcast feed there, and the full interview archive is also available at youtube.com/Scott Horton Show.
Hey, you guys, on the line, I have once again Michael Tracy, the independent journalist, and he is at mtracy.net. That's his Substack. And this extremely important piece is called The Frenzy to Ban TikTok is Another National Security State Scam. Welcome back to the show, Michael. How you doing, man?
Always good to be with you. I'm doing all right.
Great, great. Happy to have you here. So there's a lot to go over here. I guess, first of all, just basically tell us, what does this bill say?
That's the thing. People should really read the bill. It's not the most entertaining read, but if you want to have a better sense of the details of what the government is apparently getting ready to impose on the public, you'd be well served to read. The bill requires that, I mean, let's be clear about something up front. And this is something I tried to document pretty thoroughly. The legislative intent of the bill is as clear as day, meaning the chief sponsors of the bill, the chief drafters, and the ones who ushered it to swift expedited passage, they're on the record as saying that their intent is to ban TikTok. But they crafted this particular legislation in such a way where they could have plausible deniability. I don't even think it's plausible, but they could claim that the bill is not expressly targeting TikTok for immediate termination or banning. Because what the bill does is it says that there must be this forced divestiture of TikTok from its parent company, ByteDance, which Congress is in a frenzy about, because they say that ByteDance is the conduit between TikTok and the Communist Party of China. And the Communist Party of China is using TikTok to infiltrate the brains of unsuspecting, vulnerable American youth. And therefore, Congress has to remedy this by imposing some of the most severe and far-reaching federal censorship action that it's ever instituted in history, as far as I'm aware. People are more than welcome to correct me if I'm not remembering a precedent for this, but I don't think this has any clear precedent in terms of government censorship action. I think it's basically a threshold being crossed into new terrain. So the bill said, the bill establishes the mechanism by which to prohibit TikTok. So when you'll see politicians, as they have over the past week, meaning members of Congress, say it's disinformation to say that this is a ban of TikTok. It's not actually a ban of TikTok. TikTok has an option now to divest, or the parent company of TikTok can simply divest of TikTok, and therefore TikTok will never be banned and use will never be interrupted. That's a total canard, because the bill sets up the means by which TikTok can be prohibited by the federal government. And it is a government prohibition. It's like how the government prohibited alcohol for a while and how it prohibits certain other controlled substances now. It's establishing a prohibition of TikTok. It's just a matter of how it'll be enforced. So if after 6 months, the TikTok does not comply with these radical demands by the government to divest, and there's a pretty solid consensus that even if TikTok corporately wanted to do that, it'd be next to logistically impossible within 6 months. And that's the time frame that's established. And oh, 6 months from March of 2024 just happens to be about 2 months before the presidential election, which is a potentially interesting side issue. But either way, the fundamental thing that this bill does, if it were to be enacted, is it says it would establish that within 6 months, TikTok is hereby banned in the United States if it does not comply with these widely seen to be obviously unfeasible requirements. So the net result is that would be that 170 million Americans, which we're told is the number that uses TikTok, would find themselves all of a sudden having their access or ability to access TikTok terminated. And this is one of the most popular social media platforms in the world now. And for the government to, by brute force, thwart or stymie the ability of American adults, not just kids. Another misnomer is that this is somehow about saving children from nefarious social media usage. That's also a deflection and not accurate, because one out of three American adults reportedly uses TikTok. So this affects adults, not just minors. And it would be a termination of the ability of these adults to use their preferred social media outlet as a platform through which to consume speech, including political speech, which gets extra protection under the Constitution, and also express their own speech. So it's like standing on a soapbox on a street corner and the government taking away the soapbox, you know? So that's the basics of what it does. It does institute a prohibition on TikTok. It's just a matter of certain steps having to be taken before that prohibition is instituted. But people should be aware of that up front when politicians and members of Congress and others try to deny that this is a TikTok ban because they want to allay some of the public pushback. Just know that they're engaging in a knowing strategy of political deception, because if they didn't deceive the public and the public were aware en masse about the deliberately crafted effects of this bill, you could see there being a pretty sizable pushback, because, you know, lots of people enjoy TikTok, make their livelihood off of it, express their political speech through it, connect with friends over it, etc. And they're not going to be huge fans of the government all of a sudden prohibiting their use on fairly spurious grounds, just because everybody's supposed to be having a hysterical meltdown over the Communist Party of China. And if you just repeat the words Communist Party of China in the mirror three times, then I guess the First Amendment is no longer applicable.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like there's a restriction from Article 1, Section 9 here against bills of attainder that's coming into question. And it sounds like you're saying that they've written the law to be so vague that, no, we're not just picking on TikTok. We could pick on anybody with this thing if we want. So you can't accuse us of singling out TikTok. Is that right?
Right. So you have multiple components of the bill. One is that there is a specifically targeted ban of TikTok, right? I mean, TikTok is singled out by name in the text of the legislation. So that's another issue that might be contested, or almost certainly will be contested or challenged about this bill, which is that they're singling out TikTok for like one company for punishment or for excess regulation or monitoring or control. But separately, the bill also does establish a new unilateral power that Congress is affirmatively according to the president to wield unilaterally, which is that now, after this bill comes into effect, the president will have the power to make a quote determination that any application, and application is defined as any app or website, so almost anything on the internet could potentially qualify as an application, it seems. The president makes the determination that any so-called application is a, quote, significant national security threat, and is also, quote, controlled by a foreign adversary, or in the control of a foreign adversary, with the foreign adversaries being defined as the standard litany of official American enemies of China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. So just imagine some future president, maybe even imagine Biden doing it this year, saying that, I don't know, Telegram or some other website or outlet is, quote, a significant national security threat, which is incredibly subjective, right? And also that it's, quote, controlled by or under the undue influence of some foreign adversary. And to prove that an application is under sufficiently, worrisome control by a foreign adversary, the president is now given the ability to merely point to specific individuals within the platform, who work for the corporation potentially or affiliated with it, who themselves are individually under the influence of some foreign state. And we know that just in the very recent past, for politically expedient reasons, there's been no shortage of logically and evidentiarily questionable attempts to paint political rivals as in the thrall of Russia, right? Or in the thrall of, you could say, China or Iran, because they were trying to do something diplomatically with the, you know, nuclear deal. Or, you know, there's no end to how this could be manipulated and leveraged for politically cynical reasons. But this legislation now transfers to the executive the unilateral ability to make much more far-reaching determinations about this that are clearly going to have a political component, because it's leaving to the discretion of the president to determine what constitutes a significant national security risk. And people of different political persuasions have different perspectives on that, right? So it's inherently a political designation, but they're trying to frame it as somehow non-political or in the national security realm, because people don't think of that in terms of the political salience in the same way they might think about other issues.
Mm-hmm. And now, is there any evidence that the Communist Party of China dictates anything regarding this company whatsoever, or you're just supposed to know that?
Well, you'd think that evidence of that would be presented, but it hasn't. I mean, I'm open to evidence of that being the case, right? I mean, I don't exclude the possibility. I don't know the ins and outs of every detail of the Chinese surveillance state system and to what extent the governing party uses the surveillance state apparatus to achieve certain geopolitical objectives. You know, it's not that implausible, but they don't present any evidence for it. They'll come up with these very tendentious, poorly reasoned statements that are usually speculative. Like, they'll say China could use this to manipulate the American electorate, or they could use this to do some kind of intervention in our elections. There was a Republican Congresswoman, Ashley Hinson. I just want to make sure I have that name right, because I don't want to unfairly impugn anyone who didn't say this stupid thing. Yes, Ashley Hinson, she's a Republican from Iowa, who is saying that for all we know, TikTok could, in the fall, send out push notifications or push alerts on election day saying the election is canceled. And that would, I don't know, doom American democracy or something. So they conjure up these speculative scenarios where TikTok does something really, you know, drastic and malicious, but it's all in the realm of speculation. Like, don't you think that they could supply some tangible, concrete evidence of China ever doing this? I mean, Ted Cruz was ranting in a Senate hearing not too long ago about TikTok, where he had the CEO in front of him, who, by the way, seems like he's the chief pinata for everybody in Washington, D.C. You kind of have to feel bad for him, even though he's kind of like an extremely, I'm sure he's an extremely wealthy guy. He doesn't really need pity. But still, I mean, to have this much single-minded vitriol spewed at him all, you know, is very odd. He's clearly being scapegoated as this geopolitical tactic against China, right? But, you know, so Ted Cruz was, you know, in this exchange with this CEO, and he said, you know, he tried to make some, I mean, I have to look this up, actually, to give you the exact numerical details, but he was citing some bogus, you know, like online misinformation or online threat detection study from one of these shady NGO groups who was saying that, you know, the ratio of, you know, hashtag Tiananmen Square on TikTok is like out of whack with the ratio of Tiananmen Square on other platforms. And therefore that shows that China's manipulating this. Meanwhile, I mean, people who haven't used TikTok, which I haven't been a user of really, I mean, I've been aware of it. I've seen it. I've done very cursory just looking at it just to get a sense of how it works. But you know, I've been for the past couple, you know, past week or so, looking at it more than I normally would, because it's just not much within my personal area of interest for the most part. But you can easily type in anything you want, and, you know, Uyghurs comes up. And this idea that there's this really top-heavy or brazen censorship going on or brazen manipulation going on, it's not evident to me by the searches that are possible on the platform. So it seems like what this comes down to is that they're trying to use brute legislative force or brute governmental like muscle to basically to muscle out the most popular Chinese affiliated social media platform for the sole reason that it's Chinese.
Yeah. Hey, y'all, Scott here. Let me tell you about Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. Who knew? Artificial bank credit expansion leads to price inflation and terribly distorted markets. If you've got any savings left at all, you need to protect them. You need to put some, at least, into precious metals. Well, Roberts & Roberts can set you up with the best deals on silver, gold, platinum, and palladium. And they've been doing this since 1977. Hey, if you just need some sound advice about sound money, they're there for you, too. Call Tim Fry and the guys at 800-874-9760. That's 800-874-9760. Or check them out at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. You'll be glad you did. Hey, y'all, you should sign up for my Substack. It's scotthortonshow.substack.com. And if you do that, you'll get the interviews a day before everybody else. But not only that, they'll be free of commercials. How do you like that? Pretty good, huh? scotthortonshow.substack.com. Hey, y'all, libertasbella.com is where you get Scott Horton Show and Libertarian Institute shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, and stickers and things, including the great Top Lobsters designs as well. See, that way it says on your shirt why you're so smart. Libertas Bella, from the same great folks who bring you ammo.com for all your ammunition needs, too. That's libertasbella.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
And not having anything to do with Tiananmen Square, which was in 1989, this is all about Israel and their right to murder with impunity, isn't it?
Well, that's part of it. Now, I don't think it's exclusively due to the Israel-Gaza war that this TikTok ban was ushered through Congress, or ushered through the House of Representatives anyway, at warp speed. But it definitely has been an accelerating factor. Because remember, in March of 2023, so about a year ago, there was a fairly serious legislative push from some of the same exact same people to ban TikTok, but that got derailed because the version of the bill that was being bandied about then as the vehicle for banning TikTok was even more expansive than this one that they've settled on a year later. But it's true. I mean, after October 7th, the pro-Israel commentariat in the media, in the think tank world, in philanthropic organizations, et cetera, determined or they concluded that the reason why younger people were increasingly sympathetic toward Gazans or increasingly critical of Israel was that they were being tricked into believing this way by nefarious TikTok algorithms, which China is, I guess, you know, surreptitiously manipulating to make people anti-Semitic. I mean, it never adds up to anything that's logically coherent, but that's the scapegoat that they came up with around at that time. And yeah, so you had especially Republicans, not exclusively, but I mean, Republicans are actually almost 100% united on this, more so than Democrats. But the chairwoman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, Kathy McMorris Rodgers, the Republican from Washington State, I pulled up a letter and I quoted this in that article from her in November, where she's sending this joint letter to the TikTok CEO. And they're basically just outright accusing TikTok, or they're accusing the CEO of TikTok, of deliberately fomenting anti-Semitism and anti-Israel bile, pro-Hamas attitudes on TikTok without citing any tangible evidence other than that young people are more and more inclined to be skeptical of Israel and supportive of Palestinians. But that's a long-term trend. Like, I remember covering the 2014 Gaza War, which was on a much smaller scale than this current one, but at the time it was the biggest yet. I think it was, maybe 300 or 400, if memory serves, minors were killed in that war, which seemed like a lot at the time, but now it's like, it pales in comparison to the current war. But even then, I mean, there was an abundance of polling data, which showed the same thing that polling shows now, which is that voters like age 18 to 24 or 18 to 29 or 35 and under or something like that were the most Israel critical or Israel skeptical demographic, whereas voters that were the oldest were the most pro-Israel. So you would expect that to continue. Now they're just trying to, again, scapegoat a particular piece of technology that happens to be especially popular among that age cohort and saying, oh, it must be because these people are all being brainwashed and they're too stupid to think critically for themselves. Actually, the Israeli president, Isaac Herzog, and I quoted that in this article as well, he was doing an interview with some English language station in November, where he was saying that, you know, the Americans are being brainwashed by TikTok, especially American youth, not to be insufficiently appreciative of Israel fighting in Gaza on behalf of secular humanistic values or something like that, on behalf of like progressive society, which is a hilarious canard. But rather than reckon with like the actual substance of reasons why people are becoming more and more opposed to Israel or sympathetic to the Palestinians, it's easier to ignore the substance of why that trend is observable, and just to focus on some technological adaptation, which is just an incredibly tangential issue, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
maybe the 20-year-olds are actually like seeing images of rubble and and limbs blown to bits and stuff, and not having the most favorable opinion on what they're seeing, which just seems reasonable to me.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the lack of self-awareness here, where you quote the heads of the Jewish Federations of North America demanding this censorship, the head of the Anti-Defamation League in leaked audio of a private meeting saying we really have this TikTok problem and all that. They're just willing, obviously, to risk any increase in anti-Semitism caused by building a reputation as the greatest enemies of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution in the country, on behalf of Israel's ability to continue to murder innocent people en masse.
Yeah, it was interesting. The Jewish Federations of North America is the organization that sent the letter that I quoted in the article. And that's a very influential organization. I mean, it's one of these umbrella groups for philanthropic giving to Jewish organizations, social services organizations, and college scholarships. And it's just very influential. And by the way, people, I mean, there's a segment of people on the internet who like hear me say that and like snicker something about, you know, world Jewry or something else with like a sinister connotation, that it's just like not necessary to just impartially analyze the influence of an organization like Jewish Federations of North America. But anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked. The point is, a day after Congressman Mike Gallagher, who's a Republican of Wisconsin, who's co-chairing this select committee on the Chinese Communist Party, quote unquote, in this congressional term, alongside Raja Krishnamurthy, who's a Democratic congressman from Illinois, who's also running this Communist Party of China congressional scare committee, which has produced just a very regular slew of sheer hysteria since January 2023, when Kevin McCarthy instituted this committee and Speaker Mike Johnson has retained it. But that bill was introduced as like part of their legislative sneak attack strategy that they employed on March 5th. And then lo and behold, on March 6th, the Jewish Federations of North America already has a letter ready, you know, a comprehensive letter ready to the relevant committees of jurisdiction endorsing fulsomely this First Amendment abridging legislation. It's just interesting how that was coordinated as a plainly orchestrated strategy to foist this upon the Congress very quickly before the ramifications or the full implications of the bill were widely known, and then usher it to passage, because the longer that this legislation was debated openly and its provisions scrutinized, I do think the more opposition clearly would have grown. It's similar to what happened in March of 2023. I mean, there was a bill that was proposed that had a lot of bipartisan support to ban TikTok, but then people got wind of some of the more expansive government empowering provisions, and the bill started to generate opposition, and then it was kind of tabled. But now this one sailed through thanks to a very deliberate legislative strategy by the sponsors and by the party leadership in both the party leadership in the House in both parties. I mean, think about it. The Democratic Party leadership, so Hakeem Jeffries, was completely in unison or completely in sync on this issue with the Republican leadership in the House. So Steve Scalise, Mike Johnson, Elise Stefanik. Hey, what does that tell you? And what does it tell you that one of the astonishingly few things that Congress is ever able to act upon with efficiency and speed is to radically abridge the free speech protections that Americans enjoy under the First Amendment to ban an entire social media platform because they can scream that it's supposedly in the control of the communist Chinese. I mean, it tells you a lot that that's what Congress could actually get its act together to act on so swiftly and expeditiously.
Yeah. Well, and it also goes to something that you mentioned earlier about this thing is going to kick in and be a huge controversy right around the time of the election. And it just goes to show that the Democrats, led by their party leader, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, he says that, you know, the risk of Donald Trump being elected is the end of the republic and all of this stuff. And yet he is willing to completely sink and destroy his own candidacy on behalf of Israel, even though 2/3 or 3/4 of Democrats are absolutely opposed to his support for the ongoing slaughter there. And as you said here, the use of TikTok skews young and therefore Democratic here. And he's willing to just absolutely stomp on these people's feet and outrage them within weeks of the election in November when this bill would come into force. This sounds like electoral suicide on behalf of a foreign nation.
Well, one thing I think you have to recognize with Biden is that he clearly has a sincere ideological conviction in the issue of Israel and also other foreign policy issues. Remember, Joe Biden people kind of don't really appreciate that Biden, even at his advanced age and even at his questionable mental capacity, can still have decades-long ideological convictions that he spent an entire career cultivating, right? And being ardently pro-Israel is definitely one of them. I mean, on one of his very rare interviews that he's done in the past couple of weeks, he was on Seth Meyers, so this late-night comedy show, and he, unprompted, went on this whole soliloquy about how he is a Zionist. I mean, he actually used the word, again, without being asked, because he was addressing the fact that there are occasionally clips circulating of him from the 80s and 90s or whatever, going on these furious pro-Israel rants where he declares himself a committed Zionist, despite not being Jewish. And he reiterated his conviction in that just a week or two ago. So I don't know. I kind of take him at his word on that score.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he's always believing
it. Sacrifice the votes.
But look, Michael, I mean, I believe him, too, when he says that he believes that Donald Trump is the greatest threat, that he's not just a Republican, that he's a potential fascist dictator who's going to overthrow everything and destroy everything. I think he probably believes that his election at Trump's expense last time was the greatest achievement of his life. And he's desperate to prevent Trump from winning again. but not so desperate that he's willing to stop murdering Palestinians, and not so desperate that he's willing to not censor his own constituents within weeks of his reelection campaign coming to fruition here.
Another thing is that in 2020, banning TikTok was more seen as a Republican issue, right? I mean, in 2020, Trump, for the first time, issued an executive order where he attempted to ban TikTok on similar grounds as what's in this new legislation, but the legislation got held up in the courts and it never went through, right? And at the time, TikTok was seen as a platform that was more conducive to Democratic aligned interests because it was younger, because it was people maybe who were into social activism. Remember, that was around, it was, this was just after the flare up of the George Floyd protests and so forth. So, but Biden now has converged with Trump on TikTok and also on China writ large. I mean, that's another trend that I think underlies why there was such bipartisan unanimity on this. The Democratic position and the Republican position on China are virtually indistinguishable at this point. Biden, Trump, even in 2020, had no major substantive difference on China foreign policy-wise, even though they tried to like invent stuff that they could accuse each other of. And so Biden is essentially willing to adopt the Republican position on this, even if it alienates elements of their Democratic base, which it clearly does. I mean, part of the reason why there were 50 Democrats in the House who did vote against this bill, as opposed to only 15 Republicans. Although it should be said, Thomas Massey, the Republican, is the one who organized the entire opposition on the floor of the House. And he actually did a really good job, made a lot of great points. And Democrats were much more, subdued, unassertive about stating their opposition to this, perhaps because Biden did come out and declare his support for it. He said that he would sign the bill. So, maybe that's Democrats not wanting to necessarily showcase their disagreement with Biden. But 50 Democrats did vote against it because they probably are going to be more closely connected to constituents who use TikTok to, for social activism or for different kinds of politically adjacent activities that they're going to be aware of, like with creator economy types and so forth. I don't want to, I feel like I was ranting on a little long there.
No, that's all right. And I'm sorry, cause we're out of time too, but I just wanted to tell you that you're one of the worst things about quitting Twitter, man. I had to quit to get back to work on this book, but I miss seeing all of your stuff all the time. And I really appreciate you joining us on the show here to keep us
updated
on this.
Did you quit for good
stuff,
or are you just taking like a time out?
Nah, I just got to take a time out. I'll have to get back on there to sell the dang thing when it's done, if I can ever get it done. But I just can't afford to divide my attention that badly anymore. I just, the whole Israel Gaza thing kicked me in the stomach and just destroyed everything for, put a giant hold on all my progress for like 4 months there. And I just got to break away. No choice, but I'll be back.
Well, solidarity.
Yeah. Well, thank you for holding down the fight for free speech there for us, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. Good chatting with you.
All right, you guys, that is the great Michael Tracy. He is at mtracy.net. The frenzy to ban TikTok is another national security state scam. And of course, follow him on Twitter at mtracy as well.
The Scott Horton Show, Anti-War Radio, can be heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, APSradio.com, antiwar.com, scotthorton.org, and libertarianinstitute.org.